This land is your land. This land is my land. From California to the New York Island, from the Redwood Forest to the Gulf Stream waters, this land was made for you.
Hello, everyone. This is Basma Farhad of the People Speak radio show. Here, where when the people speak, we make a difference. I'm honored to have with us tonight two incredible human beings, Sister Bridget Mary Meehan and Father Roy Bourgeois of the Catholic Church. And we are here to discuss issues surrounding their recent film called Pink Cloud Over the Vatican. Hello, Sister Bridget, and hello, Father Roy. How are you this evening?
It's wonderful to be with you, Bev. It's pink smoke over the Vatican, Bev.
Oh, I'm sorry. What did I say?
Pink cloud. Well, there is a pink cloud over the Vatican.
Sorry, I didn't have that written right in front of me. As a matter of fact, I when I viewed the copy of the film itself, I had did it at work, so I left it at work. So that's why it was kind of from memory. Bridget Mary Meehan is a sister of the Christian community and serves Mother Mary of Jesus inclusive Catholic communities in Florida and Virginia. Sister Bridget was ordained a priest in the first U.S. ordination in Pittsburgh in July of 06 and has since been ordained a bishop in Santa Barbara, California. And in this historic ordination, actually ordained four women bishops in the United States. And Father Roy Bourgeois, a Marian old priest and nationally known peace activist, has suffered some interesting consequences for his participation in the ordination rite for Janice, I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing this correctly, Sevier Duzinska, and a member of the Roman Catholic Women Priests. Father Roy, have you actually been excommunicated from the priesthood?
Well, you know, when I after attending the ordination of Janice, I did receive a letter from the Vatican 60 days later, and simply saying that I had 30 days to recant my public support for the ordination of women, I would be excommunicated. I wrote back giving my reasons why in conscience.
So you
I
had
could
30
not
days to recant
and,
your advocacy of this issue?
I'm sorry? They did not respond to my letter, giving my reasons why in conscience.
Father Roy, are you with us?
Yes, I am. Hello? Hello?
Yes, hi. It seems like we're having some
can you
technical
hear me now?
Difficulties. Yes, I can hear you now. Fine, thank you.
Oh, okay, fine. Well, just to repeat what I've said, after attending the ordination, that was 3 years ago, I did in fact receive a letter from the Vatican, giving me 30 days to recant my public support for the ordination of women, or I would be excommunicated automatically. Now, I did send in my reply, giving reasons why, in conscience, I could not recant, bringing up this whole issue of a grave injustice being done toward women, addressing the issue of sexism that's at the root of our teaching. And I must say, I did not receive any reply from the Vatican, and you know, bishops and canon lawyers simply said to me that I should continue in my ministry, which I have been doing.
Well, Father Roy, can you explain to our audience and our listeners your position on this and the reasons why you advocate for women in the priesthood?
Well, I've been a priest now for 40 years. Years ago, when I was a young man in the military, actually serving in Vietnam, I felt that I was being called by our loving God to serve our church as a priest. And I said yes to that call. I was male, and I was able to enter any number of orders. I chose to enter the Marian Old Fathers, and I was they work in 25 countries around the world serving the poor. After ordination, I was assigned to our mission work in South America, where I served for years, returned to the United States, and in my peace and justice ministry over the years, I met many devout Catholic women who shared with me their deep faith and their call to the priesthood. And I must say, in the seminary and years after the seminary, we as priests never questioned our church's teaching. It was always the church's tradition, you know, that only baptized males can be ordained. Well, I really had to give some serious thought to what I was hearing, and what I heard from these devout Catholic women was the same experience that I had as a young man being called by God to the priesthood. And basically, it came down to this. We do profess as Catholics and, of course, as priests, church leaders, that men and women are, in fact, created of equal worth and dignity. And all Catholic priests do say, without any doubt, that the call to be a priest is a gift from God and, of course, comes from God. That call comes from God. And the question I had to ask myself and began to ask my fellow priests, who are we as men to say that our call from God is authentic, but your call as women is not? And what I discovered after some serious reflection, prayer, and, of course, study, was that we have a church teaching here in the Catholic Church that simply cannot stand up to scrutiny. And what I discovered at the root of this teaching was really a grave injustice being done against women who, like men, are being called by God. And the reason for that, I believe, is this sin of sexism. And sexism, like racism, is a sin. And no matter how hard we may try as men to justify the exclusion of women to the priesthood, in the end, it is not the way of God.
Well, I thank you for that. Sister Bridget Mary, can you tell us briefly about your calling into the priesthood? What was the impetus that or have you always felt the desire? And now that you are a priest and a bishop, what is your position within the church?
Well, I've always felt a desire and a calling to dedicate my life to God. That's why I became a nun. But there was no option to become a priest at that time when I entered the convent. So when I served as a pastoral associate for 15 years, I saw the shortage of priests and I saw the call of the community. I experienced the community saying, well, sister, you just did such a nice communion service. Thanks for the nice mass. And I realized that the people made no distinction, and they would accept a woman priest. And certainly, theologically, I agree with Father Roy. Fundamentally, women and men are created equal by God and therefore can equally represent Christ. And, of course, we know that Jesus offered an example of inclusiveness in the gospel because he called women and men to serve as his disciples. And in the most important news and good news of Christianity, on which the whole gospel is based, is the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. And he appeared first to Mary of Magdala and asked her, told her, mandated that she go and tell the others. So Jesus set the pace here. He set the example of gospel equality by calling a woman to proclaim the good news of which Christianity is based, Jesus, the risen one.
I ask you, do you believe that this the issue that Mary Magdalene had a special place in church history as the apostle to the apostles, do you see that this is a supportive argument for the role of women in the church?
Oh, absolutely. It shows Jesus' radical inclusivity and his belief and passion for equality for women. He could have chosen Peter, the males. He did not. He chose Mary as the apostle to the apostle. And according to the Gospels, all four Gospels, she was the one at the cross, and she was the first to receive the good news. It was the women who were faithful to Jesus in his hour of need, and the women who were the first witnesses to the resurrection. So, again, Jesus is the one who set the example for the church to follow. Therefore, there is absolutely no ground for discrimination against women based on the gospel of Jesus Christ. And in the early tradition of the church, the first 1,200 years, women were ordained deacons, priests, and bishops. The scholars have done all the work in unearthing the evidence in mosaics and tombstones, coverings, and frescoes. So therefore, we know that women were ordained. There is no argument on that. The institutional church is out of step with its own history.
And how did this happen?
Well, it happened because the males took over. It was a power control thing. In the 1139, the church outlawed marriage for priests and made celibacy mandatory, although it took several centuries for it to become common practice. And at that time, too, women were no longer allowed to be priests, because they really clericalized the priesthood. And therein lies the issue that Father Roy and I have been facing, and all the advocates of women's equality and inclusivity in the church, that clericalism is rooted in this power and control over the sacred that is absolutely, totally sinful. And it flies in the face of Jesus' example in the gospel. Jesus railed against the religious authority for their power over the people, for the spiritual rules and regulations they tried to put on the shoulders of the people to follow that had nothing to do with God's vision, God's law, God's justice, God's mercy, and God's compassion. And he criticized them and told them off on a number of occasions that they were wrong. They were heaping burdens on people's backs that they could not bear, that had nothing to do with God.
And Father Roy, how I understand that there are many who advocate for this very the ordination of women within the Catholic Church. What is it that is different about you that has made you such an outspoken candidate for this?
Well, I mean, many fellow priests have shared with me that they too believe that women should be priests, that what we have here is a grave injustice. Our church is teaching, excluding women to ordination, simply cannot stand up to scrutiny when you look at this. But at the same time, they're very fearful of going public. At the same time, I would say most priests might feel this way. You know, they're afraid they'll lose their pension. They're afraid they'll end up very alone, being excommunicated and dismissed from their particular orders, whether in the Marino Order or the Jesuits, the Dominicans, or in the diocese. And there's another group, however, I must say, over the last 3 years, I've learned a lot, and I didn't realize how in our clerical culture that really, it's been around for a long time. We often, many priests, and it's sad to say this, but many priests see women as a threat to our clerical privileges and our power. I mean, this was not what Jesus intended. This fear that really dominates the Catholic Church now, it's really sad to see that. We're being told by Pope John Paul, back in 1994 in a document on priestly ordination, he said back then that there would be no discussion on this issue, that Catholics and priests cannot even discuss this. Well, over the last 3 years, I've gotten thousands, over 5,000 letters from many Catholics and fellow priests. And most Catholics and most priests would find this very offensive as adults to be told that you cannot discuss a particular issue, including the ordination of women. In the letter that I got from the Vatican, they stated that I was causing grave scandal in the Catholic Church. Now, when Catholics hear that word scandal, they do not think about the ordination of women. What they think about, of course, is the sexual abuse scandal, where in the United States alone, some 5,000 Catholic priests sexually abused over 12,000 children, and many of their bishops simply covered up their crimes against these children. This sexual abuse scandal has rocked the Catholic Church and has caused many, many Catholics, really, to start breaking their silence. And so what we have here, I must say, the majority of Catholics, I mean, I'm basing that on surveys and polls, including the New York Times, CBS, Associated Press, Gallup, and two Catholic universities, Georgetown University and the Catholic University of America in Washington, D.C., they've all, in their surveys and polls, reported that over 60% of Catholics support the ordination of women. This is a movement, I must say, whose time has come, and trying to stop the women's ordination movement, I feel, is like trying to stop the civil rights movement or the women's suffrage movement. It's rooted in equality and justice, and this movement also cannot be stopped.
May I ask, Pink Smoke over the Vatican, has there been an official statement from the Vatican on the film?
No.
Not to my knowledge. It's just been released. It's being shown extensively now. I just returned from Boston, Cape Cod, Providence, Rhode Island, where we had a showing of the film. And, you know, like in Cape Cod, you know, over 300 came to the showing. And it's being received very enthusiastically. I mean, it's most, you know, who attend give it two thumbs up. And what it is, it's an excellent resource for discussion. A lot of Catholics, while they believe in the ordination of women, and they see very clearly, especially women in the church, this whole issue of gender inequality, as Bridget Mary has said, that's been around for over 2,000 years. Men have simply said that they and they alone can interpret the scriptures. They have claimed ownership of the church, and they alone have a monopoly of the truth. Well, most Catholics today are more educated, and they know that there's something very wrong with our church that excludes women as equals. And so I'm happy to report, too, that just today I spoke with the producer of Pink Smoke Over the Vatican, Jules Hart, and she did say that April the 1st, the documentary will be available through Amazon.com.
Yeah, and it's an excellent documentary, extremely well done, very focused, very informative, the history that that has been laid out in this film is compelling, and I can't imagine that the church is not aware of it. I know they would have to be. It's disturbing to me as a Catholic to know that even in light of such major changes as the church has recently made, that I see a sense of regression at this point. We had hoped that there was going to be a more progressive leadership in our church, and I'm not finding that happening. Am I wrong in this, or are you seeing?
No, I don't think you're wrong. I think you're right. You have your finger on the pulse. There are 33 million Catholics who have left because they are so alienated on issues of gender, divorce and remarriage, gay, lesbian, transgender issues being not received inclusively and honored for who they are as persons. So there's an awful lot of alienation, and there is a movement back, whereas with Pope Benedict, to a more, quote, loyal, faithful to the institutional church that I think has put a dart in the heart of Vatican II. Yet there are many, many thousands of Catholics out there who are looking for a renewed Catholic Church, and that's where women priests and married priests and people who are empowered come in, coming together. Like I know from my own experience in Florida and in Virginia, in Mary Mother of Jesus Inclusive Catholic Community in Sarasota and our women in the Association of Roman Catholic Women Priests, who are in different communities throughout the country in ministry, that people are flocking to these communities, wanting to be accepted and to live out their Catholicism in a more open, more inclusive, more loving, more compassionate, more Christ-centered, justice-seeking Catholic Church, where all are equal and all are welcome. So there is a growth of these grassroots communities. In Mary Mother of Jesus, we have a circle of leadership. We have two married priests and two women priests, and we have liturgy every Saturday night. In Good Shepherd Community down in Fort Myers, we have two women priests working with a community of poor and homeless people who are have very vibrant community and youth programs to really welcome people who have been on the margins and have been rejected for so long, who have not felt welcome in the church.
And Sister Bridget, Mary, I still am having difficulty wrapping my head around how you become a Catholic priest or bishop in a church that denounces you. How is that, as far as, does it then revert back to the issue of it is myself and my God and my faith in my God, and I choose to go to a female priest? And do I stand in defiance of the church when I do that? How does that work?
Okay. The Roman Catholic women priests are not leaving the church. We are leading the church. Like Rosa Parks, who refused to sit in the back of the bus, helped ignite the civil rights movement. So women priests are renewing the Catholic Church in prophetic obedience to the Holy Spirit. The movement started in 2002 with seven women being ordained on the Danube. And then, as you said in the intro, in 2006, 12 women were ordained in Pittsburgh. We have grown to about 130 worldwide. This is our 10th anniversary. We are currently in 24 states and have members in Latin America as well as Canada and Europe. But the main thing is we are passionate about our Catholicism, because the church is not the Pope and the hierarchy alone. The church is the whole people of God. And we want to renew this church and bring it back to its original vision, which is rooted in Jesus' example of gospel equality and the early church tradition of equality, partnership, inclusivity, and openness to empower the people in a communitarian model of Christianity and not a hierarchical institutional model, which is what we have today. So, you know, we're willing. I don't know how many times they've excommunicated me, but you know what? I look at these excommunications as badges of honor.
Excommunicated more than once?
Oh, yeah. They keep telling us that every time I ordain a woman, I'm excommunicated. They excommunicate me, too, every time. And I haven't even counted them all yet. I have to go back through each ordination and figure out how many I have. But it is so silly of the institution to think by punishing us they're going to stop the movement of the Holy Spirit that is renewing the church and making it a more passionate, loving, Christ-centered, Spirit-empowered church. And this Pope is a contradiction, because Pope Benedict, canonized two excommunicated nuns, Mother Theodore Guerin and Mother Mary MacKillop from Australia. He canonized them. They were excommunicated. So therefore, he has made excommunication the new fast track to canonization. So one day, too, 100 years from now, some future pope, maybe a woman, maybe we won't have popes by then, will say, as we always taught, women are true equals, and therefore, look at the partnership that our church now symbolizes. The divine is more fully imaged because both women and men are taking their rightful places as equals in our church.
I have to tell you, Doctor, and perhaps Dr. Roy can talk about this, it sounds like there's a lot of hypocrisy in the church.
Absolutely.
Well, I think you describe it very well. another word I hear is this word arrogance and hypocrisy, a lack of humility. We've gotten off course over the years, over the centuries. This issue of power has become sort of our God. As Bridget Mary stated so well, Jesus was all about equality. You know, he talked about a discipleship of equals. Vatican II, really, with the blessing of Pope John the 23rd, so saintly, realized that the church was off course. He had to bring it back on course and simply said, the church has to be of the people. You know, we are the people. They have to move from that very top-down model, sort of like the military, you know, where there's God, there's the Pope, there's cardinals, bishops, clergy, and down below are the lay people. And they, of course, as a Catholic priest, it hurts me to hear so many Catholics say to me, especially women, over the years, including family members, I couldn't take it anymore. For women, I hear that word, invisible. They go to church, the sexist language, he, him, they don't feel that they're included in the faith community. And they realize, and I have friends who tell me this with their daughters, 13 and 14 years old, they come home and their daughters pick up on that sexism. They know that they are not being treated. And then as the boys are, for example, and, you know, there are a lot of bullies in the church. Just, you know, a few months ago in Arlington, Virginia, this new pastor made an announcement in the church, a very big Catholic church, thousands attend, that the altar servers will no longer use the services of girls. Only boys can be altar servers. Well, this infuriated many of the parents and hurt very deeply these girls in the church. But I have heard so many who have simply said to me they can no longer take the church's sexism and they're leaving. But there are many others who are saying, no, I am not leaving. I will not allow you priests and bishops to claim ownership of the church. This is my church. This is our church. And we are going to work toward a very circular model of church that Jesus intended, where all are called to that table as equals, where no one can say to the other, you know, I'm superior, you are inferior. And what's very important for this present pope and these cardinals who run the church and bishops and a lot of clergy, a lot of Catholic priests, we have to learn what this word humility is all about.
I have a couple of questions that are coming up, but we're going to be taking a break for just a moment, and we'll return. And once we've returned, we're going to take some questions from our listening audience. So thank you very much, and we'll be back with you in just a few minutes with Father Roy Bourgeois and Sister Bridget Mary.
Got questions? The library's got answers, and books and magazines and CDs and videos and web access and databases and all sorts of other resources at your library. In a world that's information rich, libraries are information smart. Find the right answer and a whole lot more at your library.
Are you appalled that our country is spending billions on war while cutting funds for our libraries, hospitals, and schools? Are you heartsick at the suffering of the Iraqi people? Then join me, Medea Benjamin, in signing Code Pink's urgent call for peace in Iraq. Sign on today at www.womensaynotowar.org.
Hi, this is Willie Nelson from Normal. For 30 years, Normal has provided a voice for the millions of Americans who smoke marijuana responsibly. Thousands of sick and dying patients find marijuana effective as a medicine, including cancer, MS, and AIDS patients. 9 states have legalized its use. To learn how you can help, contact Normal at www.norml.org or call toll-free at 888-67-NORML.
In a world of abundance, hunger is a crime. When a malnourished child dies, we're all guilty. Yet it happens every 5 seconds. Let's do the right thing. Put hunger away for good. Please, give to the world for broken.
Can you imagine? Back into the local business and economy, not into far-off foreign investments or high-risk and exotic finance schemes of the super-rich.
Yes, we can.
Can you imagine eliminating income tax, ensuring economic stability, increasing social programs, and improving the standard of living for all Americans while paying off the federal debt?
Yes, we can.
That's right. It's all possible.
Yes.
Can you join us in working towards a solution utilizing principles suggested by our founding fathers through united action and strategies outlined in articles, blogs, and wiki spaces where you can share and collaborate? Please visit Ellen Brown's website, webofdebt.com, and help us make America's money and future of, by, and for the people once again. Can you do that?
Yes, we can.
Caution. If you are prone to being disturbed by real truth and real solutions, please continue to consult with your qualified Wall Street cheerleader economist on network television. Side effects for not visiting webofdebt.com include drowsiness, loss of job, loss of control of national finance, loss of country, followed by panic attacks and rude awakenings.
Web of Debt has now been translated into Spanish, titled
Telaraña de Deuda,
available on Amazon.com
or at telaranadedeuda.org.
Hello, everybody. Well, thank you for staying with us. Sister Bridget Mary Meehan and Father Roy Bourgeois of the Catholic Church here with us tonight discussing the ordination of women in the priesthood. A very controversial issue, one that has sparked not only the excommunication of both of our lovely people, but numerous excommunications from everything that I can understand. We have some questions from some of our listeners, and I will start with Anita in Scottsdale, Arizona. And she's asking, I'm assuming you're asking Sister Bridget Mary, how does she feel about the story of Lot in the Bible when Lot offered his wife and virgin daughters to the angry villagers to protect his visitors? To me, it seems that this shows the ultimate disrespect towards women as nothing more as sex objects to be used to appease the anger of men.
I agree totally, and I think that's one of the beauties of women priests and one of the symbols that we are changing, that we're beginning a healing process of this centuries-old deep misogyny, this hatred for women, in which spiritual power was invested exclusively in men and women were just mere shadow. So it's time to really honor women as we are truly equal images of our God, and we are visible reminders. Women priests remind us that we're visible reminders that all women are equal image of God.
Sherry in California asks, does the bishop feel that men should not be trying to take away the health care coverage of women's reproductive health? And are they taking this away just to save money after the $2 billion that has been spent on the pedophile priests?
Oh, I think that the U.S. bishops have no right to impose their dogma in the public sphere. First of all, they do not represent the majority of Catholics who support coverage for contraception for women. We believe, our whole Association of Roman Catholic Women Priests believe that all women have the divinely human right to make reproductive decisions on their own behalf without consulting male priests or bishops.
Okay, yes. Okay, Sabrina in Rhode Island asks, as an ex-nun from the Catholic Church, many sisters I was in the convent were very upset after giving up all their family and possessions to the Catholic Church to help others and had to abrupt wake up when they had to get permission from many levels to do anything for the public. I'm not sure if that's clear.
Well, I understand that's the old-style nun. Yeah, I was in a traditional order, and you had to get permission for everything. That's just the way it, religious orders ran before the Vatican II changes in religious life, treating women more as docile children than as full adults. That's
yes.
just a model of religious life that did change, because now nuns really have very empowered, egalitarian communities and are out there for justice, for all the issues of justice.
Well, you know, sister, what I always call myself, a recovering Catholic.
I love that, recovering Catholic.
Three.
You know, I'm a firm believer in spirit and God, and yet you have to fight the challenge the perils of dogmatic practices and it's an insane way of living. It's not realistic, and for me, I actually told my priest I had to leave Christianity in order to become a Christian.
Yeah, I can understand. I can understand your feelings.
Yes.
And it was very traumatic. It was very tumultuous. Even as a child, I still remembered when I didn't understand the church and when I didn't agree with the dogmatic practices, even at the age of 9 and 10 years old. I'll never forget the day I told my mother that I wanted to experiment and go to other churches. I thought she was going to hit the ceiling.
That is so healthy.
And because we came from a very religious history, we came from a very, you know, and my mother looked at me and says, don't you ever say that again. You are what you are. You are Catholic. And it was like she was furious with me for even suggesting that I would look into other churches. But the reasons that we did was because it didn't make sense.
Right.
Yeah.
Are we to look forward to a more sensible church?
Oh, without a doubt. You remind me of growing up in, you know, a small town in Louisiana. Most of us, you know, traditional Catholics, and none of us, you know, we went. I'm a product of 12 years of segregated public high schools in Louisiana, including our Catholic church that was segregated. The last five pews for our black members. Now, I do not remember any priest, any parent, any teacher or macho football coach that ever said, we have a problem here. It's called racism. We were taught as Catholics not to question. The church did not condemn racism. We said the same mantra Catholics did as everyone else. It's our tradition. And separate but equal. And what I'm hearing in the Catholic Church now, coming from our church leaders in Rome, you know, yes, men and women are equal. However, they have different roles. And it smacks of what I heard again years ago to justify racism.
I've heard that one before.
I'm filled with hope because in my travels, I must say, I meet so many Catholics. Those days that I grew up in, you know, no, yes, Father, no, Father, you could not question any church teaching. Those days are gone. The problem, of course, is the church hierarchy is trying to get back to those good old days as they saw it, the yes, Father, no, Father days. The problem is Catholics have grown up. We're adults now. We're more educated. And we are thinking for ourselves and what we see. And this teaching in our church that excludes women and not treating them as equals, there is a problem here. And again, it's called sexism. And sexism, like racism, is a sin. And I'm feeling a lot of hope because I just see sort of that sensus fidelium at work, the sense of the faithful. They're speaking out. And in the end, the truth will prevail.
Exactly. The spirit blows where she wills, and there's no longer Catholics are willing to pay, pray, and obey, as you all have said. I think it's a whole new day.
Well, Katrina from the United Kingdom in London would like to know, how soon can we look forward to having female priests leading our masses?
There is a female priest up in Edinburgh. Her name is Morag Liebert. So there is one in the UK. She can look her up.
Well, there you go, Katrina. Now, now you too can have your own Catholic female priest. Let me.
Well, we hope.
I think we're going to start collecting you guys.
We'd like to call forth many more women to really step up and be a part of the solution for our renewed Catholic Church. Women priests are ordaining more and more women who are qualified to really create and recreate a renewed Catholic Church in a community of equals on the ground in these grassroots communities where all are welcome to receive the sacraments and the communities are empowered in making their own decisions, vibrant, justice-seeking, you know, compassionate Catholic churches.
Mm-hmm. I know that there are a great deal of issues that are going about in the church today. I know I have a personal history with, I almost had a disdain for the women of our communities. And I'll tell you why, sister. Not because of this self-hating thing that people will generally accuse us of, but I often find that women were our worst oppressors against other women. Did you find this to be true in a lot of cases, that women, there are a lot of women that do not want you to rock the boat within the Catholic Church?
Yeah, I think some women have participated in their own oppression so much that they have accepted it, because 80% of Catholic workers in ministry today are women. And they are finding it, as Father Roy said earlier, harder and harder to put up with the discrimination and the sexism that does not treat them as true equals. And the lack of inclusive language in the liturgy is an insult to women. All you hear is male pronouns. God is always referred to as a male. I wrote several books on feminine images of God that are in the Bible and in the mystic teaching. So part of our church tradition does honor women as images of God and God with a female face, but you would never know it because the institutional church never refers to God as anything but He. And the reason for that is they want to keep the power in the male.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That I know, and I have done a lot of research in my own search for what I believed in and what I knew to be true and what I knew to be false, and I have run across some very interesting research that confirms everything that you're saying, sister, as well as you, Father Roy. Father Roy, one of the things that I found recently that has disturbed me to no end is this issue of contraception within the Catholic Church, and the talk that the Catholic Church is going to have their own insurance companies that are contraceptive free and that fall in line with Catholic teachings. And I'm thinking to myself, oh my God, we're not going to be insurance agents now, are we?
No, that I must say is going to be a non-issue. I mean, they know a Catholic priest today would be insane to go on the pulpit and to talk about birth control as being a sin. All polls are showing, 98% of Catholic women have used and are using, birth control. And what was so upsetting to so many women, of course, is when the cardinal from New York City, Dolan, tried to be a spokesperson for women, Catholic women, along with that panel of six men in Congress who tried to talk about the issue, and it just infuriated women. Let me just say about what's very important, though. There were women. In the last issue you were talking about, there were women during the women's suffrage movement who actually opposed the right of women to vote. I mean, they, you know, Paulo Freire in his book, Pedagogy of the Oppressed, and I saw that in Bolivia, where some of the poor took upon the consciousness of the oppressor, of the dictator. But that's short-lived. I mean, that's part of that experience of oppression. And there are some women in the church, I think, who just don't, you know, are not going through some critical thinking. But the vast majority of women in the church see this issue for what it is. It's discrimination. Before I forget, too, the last caller from the UK can simply go to a good website, which is Women's Ordination Worldwide. .org for more information on where women can be contacted, you know, Roman Catholic Women Priest. Also, of course, the website of Bridget Mary, RomanCatholicWomenPriest.org, and Women'sOrdination.org. All of these websites can give our listeners a lot more good information.
Right. Well, thank you for that information, yeah. Father.
And our our website for the association is arcwp.org, Association of Roman Catholic Women Priests. And there's different branches, and that's our branch. So anybody wants to get in contact with us, it's arcwp.org. Thank you, Father Roy.
Association of Roman Catholic Women Priests.
Women Priests.org. Yeah, yes. Thank you.
Wonderful. Yeah, thank you very much. We appreciate those websites and the information that you're... Now, we still have this issue that keeps coming back to the surface. And, of course, you know, it should always come to the surface as long as a crime has been committed. Kyle from Michigan asks, many people do not wish to be part of a church that covers up the crimes of the pedophile priests. How can we feel it's safe to return if full disclosure hasn't happened? A full disclosure that all pedophiles have been removed and not just moved to a different church?
Well, that's why we think that in the grassroots communities, people should form Catholic communities with married priests and women priests, or with priests of integrity in communities where they can trust that this has not happened.
And this, there's another movement now that is outside of just the women priests, but the marriage within the clergy and the priesthood is now becoming more prevalent, is it not?
Yes, we work with married priests and Mary Mother of Jesus. Many of our women priests also have married priest partners, as well as gay and lesbian and transgender. So it's not a matter of life choice or... It is a matter of call. Our communities are open to all.
I mean, that issue, it's thousands of Catholic priests who have married, and of course they're forced to leave the priesthood, and of course that says something about, you know, women also. In a way, many priests are made to feel guilty that they have joined the enemy. And really, our church is really, really suffering because of, in the U.S. alone, I think it's over 100,000 Catholic priests have married and have been forced to leave. And I have many close friends, again, who fell in love after 20, 25 years in ministry. And they are forced out of the priesthood. And this is such a grave injustice. And really, it's only hurting ourselves. For example, in so many dioceses like New Orleans, last year 30 Catholic churches closed, in Cleveland over 50. And they continue to close. And why not have women priests staff these churches, as most Catholics are saying, rather than closing these churches, let's send women priests here. And I offered a prayer up at our Marino retreat not long ago, where hundreds, you know, many priests gathered, and there's the time for the bidding prayers. And I said, for many years, we have been praying that God send us more vocations to the priesthood. Our prayers have been answered. God is sending us women priests. Let us give thanks to God.
Amen.
Yes.
Father Roy. Amen.
There was a woman in Mary Mother of Jesus a week ago, and she had come. She had just looked at the paper and saw the ad for an inclusive Catholic mass. And she shared with me later she had felt called to the priesthood for many years. So she is in the process of applying to our movement. So God is calling us, Father Roy said, many women priests to serve. And many communities now are more and more open to women priests and married priests. And talking about hypocrisy, Pope Benedict and the Vatican have taken in the married priests in the Anglican Communion who are opposed to women bishops and women priests. So it all goes back to the original topic, which is women, discrimination, sexism, sinful behavior on the part of the clerical church that must be transformed to resemble Jesus' attitude of inclusivity.
Well, you know, I come from a history of people that would be appalled that the Pope was referred to in anything but the most reverent of ways. And my feeling is that although I do believe in a great deal of respect, but I believe in respect for all human beings, I can't pick and choose who I respect based on individuals' idiosyncrasies or invalid historical reference within the church. Can I ask you both or either one of you to answer, how much does public opinion mean to the Vatican?
I'm not
Father
sure.
Roy.
Well, I think, you know, they're really resisting. I mean, they are doing everything they can to keep implementing an all-male priesthood. But there is, in fact, a crisis they are facing. The sexual abuse scandal, not only in the United States, but worldwide. How so many Catholics got educated. They have learned that, you know, so many of their priests were known to have been committing these crimes against children, but yet it was covered up for years. And all to protect, of course, their good name and Holy Mother Church. And many I hear say this, and I believe that, if we had women priests, they would not, certainly have not, simply been silent or transferred these priests to other parishes. And now they're trying to do what we call damage control, but it's not working with the church closings. They're trying to, you know, to keep this all-male priesthood going in the United States by importing priests. But so many people are saying, of course, this is not the answer. And what's most important, I think, and Catholics are learning this, you know, silence is the voice of complicity. I learned that years ago. And for that reason, I must speak out, no matter the cost. As a Catholic priest, I must speak out publicly against this grave injustice being done against women. And more Catholics, of course, they're speaking out, most Catholics. But more priests, I'm hoping, will begin to speak out. But as more priests and more Catholics let their voices be heard, they will have to implement these changes in the church.
Well, good.
I agree with Father Roy, and I'd like to say right on, Father Roy, and other priests in Ireland, the Irish Priests Association, the Austrian Priest Initiative, and the German theologians, that's around 1,000 male priests, have stepped up the pressure on the Vatican by coming out publicly for women's ordination.
Well,
so
thank
in Europe,
you, these
are male priests in good standing. The Austrians have come out and said, look, we're going to have our people preside at communion services. We are going to push for women priests. We are not going to put up with this any longer. It's a huge initiative. It's hit the news in Europe a lot. It's called the Austrian Priest Initiative. The German theologians have a huge statement out for women priests. And the Irish priests have made it public that they are also supporting women priests. So if you have close to 1,000 male priests in Europe, you bet the Vatican is feeling the pressure and the heat. Because for some, like the Vatican, women priests are a revolution. But for millions of people, women priests are a holy shake-up whose time has come.
I like that. A holy shake-up. Thank you very much, Sister Bridget Mary Meehan and Father Roy Bourgeois. It was a pleasure having you. More power to the female priesthood. I say bravo. I say congratulations, Father Roy. I, as a Catholic, deeply respect and honor your position and what you have sacrificed in your life to advocate for the ordination of the women in the priesthood. Next week's guest will be Roseanne Barr of the Green Party. And thank you again for listening. And let it be known, when the people Amen. Speak, we make a difference.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Good night, everyone.
One bright sunny morning, in the shadow of the steeple, by the relief office, I saw my people. And they stood there hungry, and I stood there wondering if this land was made for you and me. This land is your land, this land is my land, from California to the New York Island, the Redwood Forest to the Gulf Stream waters. Yeah, this land is made for you and me.